Mike and Richard welcome you to the show. This won't be very pleasant, you should probably know.
This is development hell, so don't be surprised if you don't feel well.
That worked out great.
Welcome, folks, to Development Hell. This is a movie podcast where we dive into the development hell around some of our favorite pop culture franchises and projects, as well as ones that are in active development hell. And we sort of cover all that and a little extra just for Papa, just for Daddy to put in his pocket and save her for later.
What's the I didn't prepare any little extra for the daddy.
I have a fun little extra. I have a weird little segment. Do we want to start with it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Yes,
oh, well, you know what?
We should quickly start with at least quickly saying this is, we've been gone for 6 months, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the new episode. This is, you're basically going to hear us figure out what this show might be moving forward.
We want to make a show that's a little bit less presentational to you guys.
Yeah.
Since I don't even think we're the best thing at presenting to you guys.
Fun thing for us.
And we have to record the episodes so far in advance. That's hard for us to talk about what's going on in movies at that moment, which is sort of an ever evolving thing that I think, you know, really interests all three of us. It's what we sort of talk to each other about constantly. And so we want to be able to make a show that, you know, takes less time for us to work on so that we can bring it to you faster and it can be more, you know, in the moment. Spike is having to remove his OnlyFans hat out of respect and put on a different OnlyFans hat out of respect. So I think, of course, I am one of your hosts, Kyle Anderson. Joined as always by Spike Kittrell and Richard Humphrey.
Hi, everyone.
We go to hell so you don't have to.
Hell yeah.
So I think this little segment that I wanted to start off with today, and I think it can lead into it to a bigger conversation that maybe we could have each week of like sort of analyzing some of the box office bombs of that week, right? And why they may be underperforming at the box office. And I'm calling this this segment, What's Crackin' Lackin'?
Cue theme song.
What's Crackin' Lackin'?
Why is it called that? It's not going to be called that longer than two episodes.
It's called What's Crackin' Lackin'?
Wait, now it's already changing.
No, it's always been called...
It's Crackin' Lackin'?
What's Crackin' Lackin'?
Do you think the phrase is Crackin' Lackin'?
It's a fun play on words.
You know, it's just, but it's okay. It is. It's really fun.
Because we're talking about this teenage Kraken movie bombing at the box office, being one of DreamWorks' worst opening weekends at $5 million.
Now say what's Kraken lacking.
What? And what's this Kraken lacking?
Say it like Seinfeld.
What's Kraken lacking?
There we go.
There's a teenage Kraken movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
Ruby like Gilman, teenage Kraken.
Clearly, it's not something people know about.
Yeah,
it's Ruby Gilman, teenage Kraken.
That's the name of it.
Ruby Gilman, teenage Kraken. Yeah.
All right. Well, so I know what's... one thing. It's lacking.
Right, dude. I get sad when. Ugh.
Ruby Gilman sounds like someone who opened for Steve Martin in like the 70s.
Yeah, Ruby Gilman.
Ruby Gilman was great, but she could never get it together.
Yeah, Ruby Gilman drove off of a parking garage in 72 outside of the Comedy Store.
The garage outside of the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it had the worst box office weekend of any DreamWorks movie opening weekend, $5 million and change, which is pretty rough when like your DreamWorks movie gets beaten by the machine.
Looks like the dreams aren't working, fellas.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
It's Ruby Gilman, comma teenage Kraken.
Yeah,
as though there will be an adult Kraken movie later. Had this one gone better.
Oh, I don't care.
Also,
for
you know
this.
What like people are like really into right now are like Kraken.
Ruby Gilman.
right?
Yeah. Commas. No word in this title works. The title is maybe the most recognizable IP.
What would you call commas it right now? What would you call it?
I don't know. I just learned about it. I would call the people who made it and tell them to stop it.
Diary of a Mad Black Kraken?
This movie cost $70 million? Guys, yeah. Richard already teased that he has stuff he wants to see me react to. It seems you two fully knew about this movie.
Yeah.
I am shocked.
What's Kraken lacking?
We kept all going, right. This looks better than Elemental.
Yeah, I kept saying this looks like it would whip Elemental's ass. And the problem is, though, that in my opinion, you have Elemental, you have Mario Brothers movies still circling around, you have Spider-Verse, you have a lot of things competing for the kid's dollar. And like Richard and I were talking about the other day, you know, for a family, it'd be $100 to go to the movies. So are you getting out to the movies for Rupert Murdoch, teenage Kraken?
No, this also says there's misleading trailers. I'm wondering what were they lying about?
There's no
Kraken.
That's
Krakens. Like against the law.
Yeah, I know. She's fucking 24 years old and she's a lion.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
Yeah, and it looks like at least in the trailers, it looked like it was kind of being poised as like, oh, the mermaids are the evil ones.
It's like, I don't know, Spike.
Protect you from the mermaids.
Spike, amazing. Should we watch the trailer?
That's good. That's good. That's good radio.
I don't know if we'll figure out. What are your guys' opinions on why this would be?
Richard, you go ahead. I need to learn about this.
I mean, it's just. It's a kids movie right now, which is hard territory, and kids movies are also growers. It's not like families aren't clamoring to go the first day to see a children's movie, where it's like the reason Mario's like a $1 billion movie is because like weeks after weeks it like planned it out, because families have to take like a week and a half to plan how to take their three kids to go watch this movie. And like, if you're not an already established IP or something recognizable to a child, there's no reason or incentive for a parent to shell out the money or time to go watch these things. So, like, Mario is already golden and has adults and children, like, going for it, you know? Like, How to Train Your Dragon, if they did a new one, would have, like, a bunch of stuff for it. But Ruby Gilman, like... Kraken, like there's no child that's really like fucking with the concept of a Kraken right now. Like, they just look like big Squidwards. Like, it's nothing about it's like cool enough for anybody. Like,
I don't really know if kids are fucking with Krakens right now.
Well, I think that there's also, sure, the Kraken crowd is set, they're fine. I literally, in my mind, I'm like, the Kraken, the thing from Pirates of the Caribbean. Like,
oh, you mean,
my brain tells me that we've already done the Kraken thing.
Well, also Julie Andrews in Aquaman.
Well, sure. My issue is like, because I'm, again, just now, it's crazy that, because you look at the thing where it's like name and thing that they are, and the last thing I can think of, and I know there's a trillion other examples, but I have a weird memory of
That's the end of the sentence.
I have a weird memory. Good night, guys. I have a weird memory of being so hyped for Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Kyle, you gotta stop doing screen grabs of me and sending them to me. It's becoming a pattern. And you know what? It's a good point. It doesn't look good.
This is a good one.
All right. Now, look, I think that here's the other issue is the word teenage. Because here's where you have Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius existed when kids watched kids, but also that genius was a boy.
When
I was seven, I wouldn't give a fuck about a teenage genius because I don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like a thing about like this movie's about teenagers dealing with teenager shit is like, okay, but this is a kid's movie and teenagers are seeing Spider-Man and they're going to see fucking Morbius and they're going to see fucking...
It felt like wet turning red, you know, like
well, sure, but like
it's like underwater version of the movie that didn't like.
But turning red sits on the platform that 14-year-olds watch movies at. Mm-hmm. Children are not going to the theaters on their own. They're no longer begging their parents to take them to the theater, and they're definitely not going to do something where, at the title stage, they admit that. It's about a teenager. It's also like, here's the thing. Dude, if the movie was called Ruby Gilman Teenager, it might even have better legs because the Kraken thing is kind of a red flag in terms of a 90-minute movie about a thing.
Red flag.
Like, if you're telling me there's a movie about a Kraken and it's like you gotta, it's an uphill battle to make me like anything about it. I don't think I'm ever gonna like a movie about a Kraken, let alone a teenager.
Now let's explore some of your Kraken bias. Did you have some sort of family with a ship wreck or something? Because seem to be pretty against any Kraken cinema the way I have it.
You're very
bigoted against Krakens.
Mike is a fisherman's curse on him, so we have to be careful.
Here's the thing. There's talk about
and never will a boy like you be born.
This is a weird stance for you to take, actually. This Kraken hype, but like the Kraken bandwagon is like nobody's, like you said,
never shall ye grow a red pepper in your garden.
We're gonna look at this genuine moment in history where there could possibly be across the board superhero fatigue for the first real time ever. The answer is not Kraken.
Well, what's
not alone in that.
It took about 40 superhero movies for us to reach superhero fatigue. It took one Kraken movie.
Done. That's it. We're set. This movie has an interesting cast too. I mean, Will Forte.
Well, it felt like it's one of those like money. It feels like one of those money laundering animated movies, but made by like a big animated movie.
Yeah. How do you feel about the 2006 film Kraken: Tentacles of the Deep?
Is it Kraken, Tentacles?
It
of the
is.
Deep?
It is no, Kraken: it colon Tentacles.
Okay,
of
that's
the deep.
What it should be.
Yeah.
Is Kraken, it a kids movie?
Tentacles of the Deep. Starring...
Oh, I didn't realize that it wasn't a colon, that it was a comma. Ruby Gilman.
Yeah, it's a comma.
Comma.
I've never fucking
Kraken.
Seen that.
That is weird.
It is weird. Okay, Kraken Tentacles.
I wonder if
deep.
Like most of the like most like theaters for their marquee, they don't even have like a comma.
I know they. I know they. Maybe they have a parenthesis they have to repurpose. But like the other thing is, oh, you know what's a fair point? Looking at this Kraken thing.
So
this Kraken Tentacles of the Deep thing is that like I'm deathly afraid of like open ocean. So maybe I have a deep seated actual dislike.
Never shall ye set foot in open water.
Krakens, especially in their angsty teenage phase.
Well, there you go, folks. If you were wondering what's Kraken lacking, it turns out the fact that it shouldn't have a comma, but it has one. It's lacking the fact that it should not have Krakens, but it has some. And its sort of release date, and that kids' movies are growers. And so that's what's Kraken lacking.
I also feel like it's one of those, you know, it's like, it's, you know how there's, it's a grower, not a shower.
Uh-huh.
But no one's ever just going to say, it's not a shower. You're not going to catch a guy being like, I got to warn you, don't freak out. It's not a shower. The end.
Man. Oh man.
Guys, it's fucking hot in this. One sec.
Oh, okay, yeah. You probably want to change hats.
Yeah, I get it.
Fresh hat.
Richard, what do you got? Any new segments? It's hot. It gets humid in Boston. So,
for the audio listeners, Spike just took off his shirt to reveal like a little OnlyFans belly shirt. After he took off three different OnlyFans hats, I can only assume he's going to come back into frame like dressed as the OnlyFans logo.
And that's the extent of the OnlyFans clothing
it's
I have.
Really good bits. Very good bits.
We'll be auctioning off these hats.
I've got another thing I want to talk about, but I would love to go later if anyone else has got.
Oh yeah, I got something.
Okay.
So this is a segment I call "Screw the Universe."
Sorry, screw the universe.
Yeah. Okay. You know that hot quote
with
"Dude,
accent,
where's
Kyle?
My car?" Yeah. I got okay. The insert sound sure. effect there. This we is going to be about like weird pushes for new cinematic universes that.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
That people are trying. And so people didn't think about it, but Barbie is definitely Mattel farming other interest in like movies to do, because J.J. Abrams just given an update on his Hot Wheels movie he's doing.
This is the thing I saw when I Googled screen on Screen
you know?
Rant.
And yeah.
I was convinced wow. Screen Rant was like a clickhole onion thing.
And so
Hot Wheels too, huh?
And it,
what we need is action movies about cars.
We don't have
action
any.
Movies that are sort of car based.
I mean, what Hot Wheels is one of those things where I'm like, what is the take?
J.J. Abrams is a person that I'm like, what is the take? Has that like that dude is sort of like the best fan service thing, right?
Yeah.
He's all his films, everything he's directed has been some sort of either sequel, remake, reimagining, or homage. And again, to your point, Kyle, is what are you serving with a Hot Wheels movie?
Right. There's no, there's
you know, what master do you serve?
But there's no fandom. Like, there's nothing to be.
Well, it's that,
there's
like,
no story elements.
There's that thing with like Lego where they own like any copyright as long as it looks like Lego. Mm-hmm. So this is like, there's a Hot Wheel of everything. So somehow
the Hot Wheel
they're
going to every vehicle. I yeah. mean, there's not a Hot Wheel of like.
No, there's like a Spider-Man Hot Wheel. There's like.
Yeah, but you can't have. Are you having the Hot Wheels talk to
yeah.
each other?
Yeah, yeah. Is it just going to be cars? Like, what is this?
Be,
like,
yeah.
And it's, if it's J.J. Abrams yeah, exactly. doing it, like, what is this? Is
it's
it like
Cars meets Fast or, and Furious?
Or is it about the guy who got the license to make cars? And was he like a janitor who got this idea or some shit? I don't know.
Now I have a.
But also,
I do love the Hot Wheels video games because they are racing mm-hmm. games. But if everything was real big around you.
But also, like, if it's if they're like, oh, well, if Barbie has a world and then can go into the real world, what if Hot Wheels can go into the or some
yeah,
shit
like
but
that?
But
then you're
you know?
A car.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's a car though.
It's, and it's also you can only do the goes into the real world thing like once with your universe, unless that's the whole conceit of your universe.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Like,
it's
a movie
like,
ever done that where
it's 2012 again, where it's like Battleship and like all of these like board game movies and shit.
Well, Kyle, you raise an interesting point because it's infuriating when the pitch on any of these things is Sonic. It gets sucked into the real world and then he's
right.
got to deal with taxes and stuff. And then like, but has there ever been a movie sequel where that happens again? Like, I don't know. Did Sonic go back? So that's the thing. It's like, it's weird to not do that. It's weird for the character to leave and then come back in the next 10 minutes of the next movie.
Sonic,
like, just get an apartment here.
Did you see the Sonic movies?
I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one because I saw the first one.
The second one, he's on Earth again still, like just
right.
being there. Yeah. It's and then now there's going to be a Knuckles TV show with Idris Elba.
Good. Remember when we thought he'd be Bond and now we're like, he's going to be Knuckles on TV.
Did you see that quote about why he won't be Bond? Is because he said the conversation started to get racist, so I didn't feel like being involved.
When did it start to get racist? Yeah. You mean the conversation started? You mean the internet thought about it for a second and it was a collective pile of shit? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Didn't Mattel like, announce good. Like 50 of these things? Like they're gonna.
Yeah,
I think
like
we mentioned this in one of our. Was it Dark Tower or one
Dark
of our
Universe,
episodes?
Maybe.
I think Dark Tower. I talked about Akiva Goldsman was hired to flesh out a Mattel-verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that was part of my like background on that. But like, I wonder how involved that pre-existing work is. I mean, what is, I think clearly we went through what Mattel has, right? Or maybe I'm thinking of Hasbro.
Well, they have Barney. Yeah.
Which this Daniel Kaluuya thing, are you aware of this?
The Daniel Kaluuya like dark movie? Yeah.
No,
have you read the Daniel Kaluuya quote about Barney?
No.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
This is breaking news because I loved Barney as a kid. I was obsessed with Barney as a kid. Fucking obsessed.
Right. This is Mattel, the most. Okay, go ahead, Richard. I haven't found it yet.
No, I was saying Mattel is like a different beast entirely than like a Hasbro or whatnot. You know, it's like it was a different. It's a different like breed of toys.
Right.
All right. Because it's a different type of IP.
I know that Mattel has said that Barney will feel like an A24 film. And Daniel Kaluuya's quote, Daniel Kaluuya is in the Barney film, and this was his quote. Barney taught us, I love you, you love me, won't you say you love me too? That's one of the first songs I remember. And what happens when that isn't true? I thought that was really heartbreaking. I have no idea why, but it feels like that makes sense. Feels like there's something unexpected that can be poignant but optimistic. Especially at this time now, I think that's really, really needed. Daniel, what are you talking about?
Maybe weed shouldn't be legal anymore. Like, maybe it should be harder to get weed.
I want to read this pitch, man.
I know, it's like from the sick, twisted minds behind Barney. But that's the thing. I mean, the reason Barbie is digestible, like, kind of culturally, is because I feel like Barbie has that thing similar to when we all originally found out about Ant-Man, which was like, that doesn't sound good, but I'm interested. But if Edgar Wright's doing it, it must be interesting. Or even like, I don't want another Batman, but if Robert Pattinson said yes to it, it must be interesting. I feel like, and then Barbie is the same way, where you're like, oh, that's just, that is unmakeable in the 21st century with any sense of like decency. And yet Greta Gerwig seems like, oh my God, what is the take? And I feel like we all still barely grasp the take in the marketing, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's weird if that precedent starts to where we have to go into where we as adult humans have to be like, what is the take on the Barney movie that Daniel Kaluuya thinks it's like some A24 art film?
Right.
Like, and then who are we making this for? I still don't fully understand.
I think it's going to be like movie, The Wrestler.
I still don't fully. Well, don't. But I fully feel like
Barbie, like the
Barbie. I still don't Barney, get if the yeah. Barbie movie is for kids. I don't understand the age ceiling on that movie.
I don't know either. It feels people like Looney like Tunes back in action, but like prestige.
It's weirdly not the sort of children counter programming to Oppenheimer, like they maybe like we all maybe thought. It seems like they're both kind of for grownups, which is really weird. That
I think seems to be for grownups. I think it's cool to make a kids movie that just feels like Eternal Sunshine. But it's somehow for kids because there's like a musical number every 3 minutes. The rest of it is like deep depression. And like,
is that your read on Barbie?
No, that's my read on Barney.
Yeah, it's mostly him like lying down,
being like, "What is love if you love me and I love you?"
It's just like it's just a remake of Death to Smoochie.
What else is in the Mattel?
I mean, they have Polly Pocket. They have.
I don't know what that is.
She's a little lady. Fits right. in your pocket.
You didn't play with girls' toys, Spike?
No.
You put that in your pocket.
I played with girls.
Absolute okay. Chad. Absolute Chad Spike.
Yeah, that's me. Let me find another hat.
Sigma male Spike.
Yeah, it's 2020, summer 2023. Here I come.
Right. That's the attitude of the dude from Suicide Squad, baby.
All right, can we not with this buff Spike thing? Yeah, I guess I don't quite. Thomas the Tank Engine is friends.
Ooh,
do that like Unstoppable, that, like do that, that like could. The Tony Scott movie.
I say tie them into the Bullet Train universe since we already have that connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the fucking Bullet Train movie I just fucking watched? My memory of seeing things has gone away since getting Letterboxd.
Thomas,
my brain
Snow
just tells
Piercer.
Me it's over there.
Thomas the Snowpiercer.
Yeah. Now
get
we're
director
talking.
Bong on it.
Bong is being brought in to reimagine the Mattelverse.
I feel like that's kind of where we're at, because if I can piggyback onto exactly what Richard is saying, one piece of news I was able to pull, I think broke today, which is that Greta Gerwig's, I don't know if this is her direct follow-up to Barbie, but she just kind of accidentally announced that she's going to be writing and directing two Chronicles of Narnia movies for Netflix.
Which, like, get these movies out consecutively, please, so I don't have to wait years in between and then you don't finish them again.
Or don't do it.
I don't know, man.
My big bummer is that, like, I thought that Barbie seemed to be a guarantor for herself to get this blank check moving forward. Like, I thought.
No, but, like, she wants to be a big studio woman.
Well, that's the Ryan Coogler thing of, like, we anticipated one thing out of Ryan Coogler, and it seems he more so wants to be this, like, IP journeyman, like, who makes very good. He's like a Jean Colette Sarah, or is that his name? Jamie Colette Sarah. Where like
it's Michael
of like, but like S tier. Yeah, he's like a Michael Sarah.
It's Michael Sarah.
He's like a
but
Michael
I just feel like
Sarah.
Ryan Coogler has sort of, not in a bad way, but like turned out to be less of an auteur and more of a workman than we anticipated. And I feel like it's interesting to see Greta Gerwig hint towards that direction.
We don't really have like cool creative women in that space doing that anyways.
It's not overrated to be an auteur, but it's like not everyone needs to want to be an auteur. Like, we need great journeymen to, if these movies are going to be made, hopefully there's people behind the lens that are capable and creative and can make something great out of them. If you're going to make a Black Panther regardless, or you're going to make a Barbie regardless, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree, but the regardless movies are getting less. You're seeing less Coogler through Wakanda Forever, and you're seeing less Taika through. I mean, that's not fair on that.
But
you're fighting, but it's less visible. And Greta also comes from, even pre Lady Bird, such like mumblecore was the lowest rent you could be as a film artist in the 21st century. And for her to emerge the way she did, like beyond Joe Swanberger, Adam Wingard, it just feels like it felt briefly after Little Women like, oh, we got one. Like not we, but like, oh, mumblecore like really got one. Adam Wingard is making Kong vs. Godzilla and Greta Gerwig is making Little Women. And like these people who shot their movies in their studio apartments 10 years ago are like, and it's just interesting to see the shift of like Wingard is just going to make the next Kong. And then Gerwig is just going to go do Netflix Narnia movies. And it's just interesting. Like, the auteur thing is overrated and also debatable if it exists. But, like, you do wish the one for you, one for me existed anymore. And it seems weirdly seems like Taika Waititi is the only one in acting that.
He's doing too much.
He's got
much.
That soccer I'm movie so, coming out.
I'm so tired of Taika Waititi.
Well, it's the thing where like that new movie with Michael Fassbender looks kind of cool, and I've never seen Ted Lasso, so everyone who says it's like hyping on Ted Lasso, I'm like, it'd be the first if it's new to me, it's new. Like, I think it's just interesting that like Greta is not even sneaking one in. I mean, maybe she will, but it was a bummer to read, and for me, like. I really was excited for like another Lady Bird, because as much as she can express through Chronicles of Narnia as a filmmaker, I really love her as a writer. And we haven't seen, I mean, Barbie is going to be certainly that. It's just a bummer that like how much she's going to be translated. And Narnia is a straight adaptation, I would imagine. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, like if done right and properly, there's a lot of money in doing Narnia, you know, like because like just religiously worldwide, it means so much. So it,
sure.
It's just like, it'd be nice to have those movies kind of done well too, because like those books are really fucking good.
But there's people who can do those movies well. I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah, I know, and that's fine. I want
Greta Gerwig on that set for 2 years.
Hey, I mean, like, the thing is, if she's going to film two back-to-back and then get to do whatever the fuck she wants in between that or, like, be a voice,
sure.
Like, maybe that's what that is. But, like, cool, because, like, if Barbie works the way it is anyways, like, none of that matters. She'll probably be able to quit if she wanted to. Like, how many people sign on to a couple of these movies and then drop out anyways? Like, it happens all the time. It's
interesting to have announced it at the peak of Barbie press. It makes it feel very real.
Yeah, you know, or and that too of like maybe it's them attaching to see if there is attention to even wanting to do that anyways, because Netflix could just drop the project tomorrow.
No, streaming services follow through and they make things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Richard, you don't know what you're talking about.
What's a streaming service?
Streaming service is where
you make 14 South Park movies.
Mm-hmm. And then your viewers forget that you signed up for a trial. Yeah. And then when around the first of the month, they realize it, but you don't save any money from canceling on the 31st now, do you?
A streaming service is where I pay $6 a month to watch one new episode of Game Changers.
Yeah, it's where you pay $40 a month for 3 months to have watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
About to turn it off, and then your girlfriend's like, let's watch Zooey Deschanel's Sharpened Knives on like her new competition show, and you're there for another month.
Is Zooey Deschanel on TV Sharpened? Is that what she's up to these days?
No, she's on something on HBO Max, though. Someone tweeted a Sign photo of it and said this Quibi-ass show.
What is HBO Max and Quibi? You just named two that don't exist. That's fucking nuts. In one sentence, right? One joke, you managed to name two non-existent streaming services. I really doubt two Narnia movies are coming out of Greta Gerwig.
Right. What am I eating with Zooey Deschanel?
What am
that
I
sounds
eating?
Like a segment one of us would come to this episode.
What am I eating?
What am I eating?
this is
like a pair.
Oh, it was a pair. that sounds like the quickest to solve mystery of all time.
Well, dog, we have a fucking Is It Cake 2 on Netflix now. Like, it is what Netflix is one of those streaming services. But yeah.
Okay.
Kyle, what else did you have prepped? Was it another part of what's crackin' lackin'?
No, it's not what's crackin' lackin'. This is more of like just one of the best experiences I've had at the movies in many years. I went and saw The Room. My buddy, friend of the show, Tyler Gizar. You gotta have him on the pod soon. He hit me up.
People really like that Brie Larson movie, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, so,
trapped her and the kid.
Yeah.
He hit me up, and my friend Jen went with me. And my buddy Tyler, and we had such a fucking good time. An insanely good time. Now, I will say, the Fathom events at AMC. The fact that it's just a satellite TV channel that they are tuning into.
Yeah.
And when you walk into the theater, it's like showing like the satellite TV like scanner code. And then our theater, so my buddy Tyler, he worked at AMC previously, so he knows how this works. And it was like 10 minutes after the movie was supposed to start, and it was still on the scanner code. And he's like, oh, dude, nobody's starting the movie. Like, nobody's up there starting it. And I'm like, what? And he's like, well, because most of the movies run off a hard drive and it's scheduled.
Yeah.
But the Fathom events, you actually have to like click it over to the right channel and like start it. And he's like, it's just a stream. Yeah, he's like, it's just on the wrong channel and nobody's like started it up yet. He's like, which means it's streaming, which means they're going to have to go change it over and then restart it. And that takes a minute too.
This happened at The Room screening.
Yes.
Just seems more catastrophic, like just additionally catastrophic.
Now, there's also a guy sitting in like row 3 by himself in like a trench coat and a big hat.
Good.
And I'm like, that's Tommy Wiseau.
That's it's Tommy Wiseau or two kids who are really committed
who are sneaking into the room.
There's still one of them in the pants.
it was just an old man. But I was really hoping it was Wiseau and that this was all like an elaborate, like the movie never starts prank.
I feel like Tommy Wiseau these days. Tommy Wiseau is dressed, he's cosplaying as whenever Johnny Depp plays guitar on stage. I feel like those two are always wearing the same outfits.
Well, it opened with only one preview, and it was an ad for his underwear line. It's like luxury underwear line.
Gotta see that. Gotta catch that in IMAX.
Yeah, and then it started, and it was just such a good vibe in the theater. Everyone was just there to like laugh and have a good time, and like instantly at the beginning of the room, which I'd only seen scenes of, but I never like sat down and like watched it. Oh, end to end.
Cool.
And I wonder if at night, at home, it wouldn't hit as hard, but like in a theater with people, it was just so funny. And it just hits.
It won't hit home alone, but if a group of like five or six people in a room, like hanging out, can watch the room and like have some enjoyment. Well,
what was great is there was clearly like groups of friends who had brought people who had like no idea what this was.
Always.
Because they would just burst out and be like, "What is happening?" And then everyone around them laughed. Like,
it's one of those movies that's fun. The experience of showing it to people is very fun. Like, mm-hmm. if you can manage to show a friend From Dusk Till Dawn and they don't know, it's magic.
Yeah.
And it's that same thing where you just tell your friend, like, "Hey, we're going to go see their room. What is the room? Be there at 8. You know, like,
yeah.
And then suddenly spoons are being thrown at the screen, or like the football is out in the lobby and they have no idea. They think they're going to see the greatest thing. There's so many rabid fans. This is amazing. The filmmaker's here. Greg Sestero is here. It's not depressing that he's here. Like, they have no idea that it's super depressing that he's there. Like, it's fun to show people that movie.
It started with such a good vibe because right away at the beginning of the movie, there's just all these shots of water, of ponds or of like the San Francisco Bay, just establishing shots that happen to have water in them. And every it cycles through like nine of them.
They're all like stock.
Every shot that has water in it, there's just a guy in the back row who keeps going, "Water!" And he did it the whole movie, and it was so goddamn funny.
Have you guys ever been to one of those screenings of like Showgirls where like everyone's super into it?
I've heard those are fun too.
Dog, that's so weird. I just watched Showgirls for the first time this morning. That's really? I think two times this week Richard has brought up a movie that I watched that morning. Yeah, I just watched Showgirls this morning. I don't understand people thinking it's not good. I genuinely don't know if I was insanely horny while I was watching it. I don't think I was, but I was like, this thing is hot and fun and crazy. And like, I don't know what it was, but like, I liked Showgirls and I think it's a great picture and I'd like to see it with lots of people.
I gotta see
Showgirls. People know it like word for word and like people come like,
away from it with it part of me, like in that way. Like, it's certainly silly and campy. It's this weird thing of 90s drama where it's like high camp, high bleakness. It's like an incredibly depressing, dark, silly movie.
We get to exist in like the world after it's been appreciated now.
Sure.
What it was people hated it, and then it slowly got that cult classic hit.
Well,
and so we've only been told obviously we grew up in a time where it's like we directly all know people who went and saw it and hated it. But like it's gotten to that point where it's like we've been told the whole story of its reprisal. So we're able to appreciate its whole essentially development hell, if you will. You know?
I mean, I watched it. I thought it was like good. It was like fine to good. And then proceeded to read about how not only people didn't like it, people were mad at it, called it one of the worst movies ever, and the cast was like, "We don't like this, we wish this wasn't like this," and I was just like,
it was somehow new Caligula.
Just didn't get people being mad about it. I immediately was like, "Oh, people don't like this movie, there are people who fucking don't like this." but similar to The Room. I mean, it's all, I would love to, any of these environments, like that's the case for movie theaters, right? Is it's not that it's a big screen, it's the environment. Like the actual secret selling point of movie theaters is everything in the room that isn't the screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like when
it's the darkness that makes you submit to pace. It's the like, it's the sound itself. It's the like seat that locks you and you can't rotate while you're in that seat. You are surrounded by people and you're being told you're allowed to laugh. Like, go see Rain Man. I saw Rain Man in a movie theater. And when the first person, and the directors talked about this, when a person in the theater laughs at the first joke in Rain Man, it tells the rest of us it's okay to laugh. And then it's fun, not in a campy way. Like that movie is genuinely meant to be funny. But like a theater allows a relationship with a movie in a way that.
Yeah. I mean, it's indescribable. You know,
I remember
we get when the lights begin to dim.
Wow, I saw you Google it. You looked up the, go ahead, do it. I gotta
the whole go ahead. Like brightened up. I'm not going to do it. You better come back with the biggest OnlyFans hat I've ever fucking seen.
Hey, you guys.
Let's do the Regal one.
This hat better be fucking massive. It better be the whole fucking website on his head. I don't even know what that looks like.
Wow. Did he do it?
Actually, the littlest OnlyFans hat I've ever seen.
Oh, did you think I was coming back with more OnlyFans stuff?
The biggest.
Like a headband or something.
Oh, oh shit. Now he's coming. He just brings a girl. She's right from on your read. She's from OnlyFans.
This is an OnlyFans game show.
Oh, nice.
On a hard drive.
You guys put on the most Pepe Le Pew hard drive. You guys put the most sexually active cartoon character.
Hell yeah.
All right, I have something here. Did you guys see that they announced a new Blade Runner video game? Cool. Blade Runner 2033 Labyrinth.
Now, how are we doing the is there a colon involved?
Yeah, where's the comma?
Oh, yeah, here, one sec. So it's 2033 colon Labyrinth.
But oh, I see.
And it's set in between like the two films.
Sure, 2017 and 2049.
Yeah.
What kind of game? Because I feel like there's all sorts of games that, like, will I care about this when it comes out, or will I be told about it?
I'm probably not care, in my opinion.
I don't care. I just mean, like, is it one of these, like, it's going to be like a game people, like a cyber, I feel like cyberpunk, like, is it going to be like a game that's big, and what kind of game is this?
I don't fucking know. They just did like a teaser like photo. Yeah,
I don't even think we know yet. We know they're making something.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of like the RoboCop game that's coming out. That's basically just like cyberpunk. But what if you were RoboCop?
Hell yeah. Wait, isn't the whole idea of RoboCop you have no control?
I know what you can't do in that game.
You can't not cop.
I know very specific things you're not allowed to do in that game. I hope there's an aimbot, but just for dick. It just automatically shoots people's dicks off. And it like cuts into an animatic every time.
Well, I mean, that sounds cool. I hope so. When a game gets announced, It's always fun to ask you guys about games. When a game gets announced, I mean, that shit isn't coming for 5 years, right?
Yeah. It's like that Wonder Woman game isn't coming out for a good minute.
There's a Wonder Woman game?
Yeah.
Is it tied to the since bailed on Wonder Woman continuity?
Well, I don't know. It's sort of tied into like being on Themyscira for a lot of it, because it's going to use. So Warner Brothers Interactive patented and copyrighted the Nemesis system from like Shadow of War and stuff like that, where it has like this built-in like AI in there, where there's like a roster of like people to nemesis to like fight nemesis, and they're at like certain levels, and so like when you kill them, other like AI like that were in the background get promoted and move up, and some remember you, and
oh, that's
things
crazy.
Like that. And so like you'll have to defeat certain ones on a lower level to get to ones at a higher level, or like destroying one like kind of can set off a chain of events where you can see that like this orc general is about to kill another one to try to move up. So do you want to like kill one or wait for them to move up by themselves while you do something over here? And a lot of games have wanted to use
AI is so fucking cool.
When used correctly is like dope.
Sure.
Yeah. You know,
it's been in video games forever.
But apparently Wonder Woman is like the next game that's going to like use that.
Interesting.
And then I don't know. It's weird because there's a lot of these weird IP video games that are about to all come out, like the Indiana Jones one.
Really?
Yeah, that's going to be done. That's Xbox exclusive.
Fucking Harrison Ford getting all these goddamn calls about video games in his 80s. Just like, all right, they're telling me they're announcing Blade Runner, 2033, Nemesis, some sort of AI game. It comes out 4 years after I die.
Did you guys see that that quote from Anthony Mackie where he was talking about working with Harrison Ford?
He said, let's shoot this piece of shit.
Let's shoot this piece of shit. And then we all but be then, like, yeah, let's shoot this piece of shit.
No. Here's what's interesting is I believe the quote, he goes, I think that Anthony Mackie, midway through relaying that story, realized it sounds bad. So he goes, so Harrison Ford said, let's shoot this piece of shit. And we were all like, yeah, let's shoot this shit. Like, yeah, I think he was trying to reel it in. Like, no, Harrison Ford is not being a total fucking piece of crap. No, he's not that, but like a grumpy boy. Yeah. So it's just, and did you also see that they had to like sprint to finish that fucking thing? Because they're afraid of the
strike
striking.
Yeah. So I mean, we're like, just going to get like, take me down to reshoot city.
But dude, to be told Harrison, for Harrison Ford at his age to be told like, we're doing 16-hour, 20-hour days because we're afraid your union is going to strike is just wild to me. And he's getting pulled. It's one of those where he's clearly being pulled off of the indie press tour to continue to shoot that movie. So it's all just very, I mean, I remember before that wasn't something to do. I always felt for fucking Ezra Miller being like never, like it's amazing. You know what, when I think about it now, it's amazing Ezra Miller had any time to do anything other than be the Flash or that, or the evil ghost Cloud Boy. Like that Ezra Miller, it was in the news. The headline should have been Ezra Miller is finding the time to
assault Hawaiian women,
traffic and choke women in the streets.
Yeah.
And we would all be like, how does he do it? How do they do it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's
how
crazy.
How to juggle the time.
Yeah, I know. Ezra Miller has one of those fucking Harry Potter things so that they can simultaneously be a monster and
be
a fucking fake smoke monster.
He keeps running backwards in time just to be in prison. It's like, shit.
It's like, you know how in Space Jam, to shoot Space Jam.
Really great wanted, already.
He wanted like a Michael Jordan needed them to like make a basketball court so like between setups he could like walk like 20 feet away.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
Practice. Ezra Miller needs like a weed farm with like Native American like kidnapped
I need a barn full of guns, drugs, and children.
Yeah.
Right next to my trailer.
Never put Ezra Miller in that white room from The Matrix where you can ask for any.
Dog.
Throats. Lots of throats.
Throats. All I want for Christmas is throats.
Spike Holy Horny shit. Watching Showgirls like.
I feel like a real Ezra Miller in their trailer for fucking Harry Potter 9 or whatever it is. We made a quick, I really like this change. We made a quick, we were going to do something that maybe we'll do next week or we'll do some other time, but I didn't pull any other segments, but I have something to, so you guys know I'm not very online.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm online, I weirdly end up looking into the sun of like,
Who's son?
God damn, Zachy Snyder's son. But also,
Spike and somebody's son.
Usually, like, it's weird to consider me being like having a segment that reacts to these internet things that are going viral, but there's this thing going viral that is infuriating to me.
Okay.
Which is a video of Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Crying watching his stunts. Now, are you aware of what this video actually is?
It's marketed in the tweet as like he's watching his stunts with his daughter.
And it's not his daughter.
His daughter is so this is a clip from a movie that is, so the clip is him sitting in like a barn. No one questions why they're standing in a barn doing this. He's watching
in a barn
with his daughter. I just watched Jackie Chan supercuts with Jackie Chan. That's what I do.
That's what we all do in a barn. But if you're Jackie Chan, you're just watching yourself.
Jackie Chan and Ezra Miller have different vibes in fucking barns. And it's this weird thing where Jackie cries. Remember when I first saw it, I thought it was very touching. I'm like rewatching the police. I'm watching the police stories for the first time. And like he watches it with his daughter and a daughter hugs him and they cry some more at how like his youth is gone. But this is actually a clip from a movie that's basically coded as a Jackie Chan kind of autobiographical thing of like an old school stuntman who's past his prime. And there is a scene where he remembers his stunts. And I think probably because of how rights work, he just is able to have all his movies be in this movie. Mm-hmm. And what's more damaging about this is it posits that Jackie Chan is not a fucking horrible father.
Right.
Who lied about paying child support and never did, and disowned his one daughter, who he had not with his wife at the time, for being gay. So it's just a very strange clip that is seemingly inescapable, and there's nobody calling this out as like a clip from a movie. It's really weird. Because it's such a sweet moment, and Jackie is clearly not acting in the clip. I would imagine they showed him. I've never seen Jackie Chan act like that. So I would imagine, you know, like, he really was shown it. He was really shown that stuff and probably had a moment. But it's weird for him then to be like, and then I want to hold my daughter who I love. Like, he's experiencing such truth in his performance and such lie in his performance in that exact moment. It's very strange. So that's not development, but that's my reaction to the internet, the movie internet that I see.
Yeah, it's I had no idea about any of him being a bad dad, so it was kind of a whole bummer today. It's kind of a whole ass.
No, but you got to remember there's that scene where the Chris Tucker's wondering if he can understand the words coming out of his mouth, and he says yes, and he doesn't say it like that, but you
What's your guys' favorite like blooper from the Rush Hour movies?
Oh, it's got to be when Chris Tucker says that dude ain't going to be in Rush Hour 3.
That or gefilte fish.
I remember there also being great on the plane at the end of 2. Or at the end of 1. Is 1 where they're going to Hong Kong together at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing lots of good bits on the plane. And should I rewatch? I've never seen the third one.
I think the third one's pretty good. Okay. I think it's as good as a Rush Hour movie, you know? Like,
sure.
They're and all Rush Hour 2 is like fives.
Is up there as one of the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap up today, I think this would be a fun little segment to wrap up with if we're all set.
I think I'm set. Yeah.
Okay. Set, yeah.
I think we should do a little fuck, marry, kill.
Good.
With Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Mission Impossible.
Now you're talking about the movies or the main characters?
The movies.
Okay. All right.
I have to fuck, marry, and kill? Like,
yeah. See, I'll go
so
first.
Obvious.
I'll go first. Okay. Go. I'm going to fuck Oppenheimer. Because that's a bang you remember, baby.
Yeah, real Catherine Oppenheimer viscering over here.
That's a bang you're going to remember. That's not a bang you're going to be quick to forget. Okay?
Why not?
Well, because it's a fucking nuclear explosion of a bang, baby.
Sure.
No one's going to bang like that.
Sure. That's a lot. That's a lot of cleanup.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of cleanup after, you know, the city's devastated. You know, it's a good bang. I'm going to kill Barbie. Wow. Yep. And then I'm going to marry Mission Impossible because there's never been a bad one. They've all been good.
Yeah.
All
you know that's like an incendiary thing to say.
And it's when like they all get better too.
Is just existing on servers across this nation.
Mission Impossible 2 is fine.
Yep. Mission Impossible 2 is better than.
I didn't know I was talking to two fucking lobbyists for the Dove lobby.
It's a movie that doesn't understand why we like Mission Impossible movies, but it's,
y'all are in y'all are deep in the pocket of big everybody's wet.
Maybe look at you making bitches dry.
I'm done. I love that one. I love in 3 when he gets on top of the wall and he says Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Even though people want to hate on it, I'm like Tom Cruise is the only action star that could say that.
That's in 3?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. He climbs the wall.
See, J.J. Abrams, what the fuck is Hot Wheels about?
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
Hey, is there a Humpty Dumpty Hot Wheel? There's gotta be.
Ooh, there's gotta be. They've probably done all of the, like, mother beasts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it probably has, like, all the spoilers have that, like, classic gold.
That's what they haven't done. They haven't done, like, a Mother Gooseiverse.
Don't.
You know, with like Humpty.
Industry people listen to this. Can we not?
I mean, oh, what is the Shrek movies except that, though?
That's true. Sort of a tongue-in-cheek. I'm talking about gritty and real, bro. I'm talking about done right, like in the comics.
I mean, don't make a TV joke show. That's that TV show.
Deserve it.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time also, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, they made it, baby.
Once Upon a Time will also be like Olaf from like Frozen. That's what's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would fuck. I think I'd
fuck Oppenheimer, killing Barbie, and marrying Mission Impossible.
I get that. Richard, you got to go. I'm so stumped here.
I don't understand what. What fucking a movie and killing a movie.
You know what it means.
Marrying a movie totally click with you.
Yeah. The third one though he's fine.
Yeah, it's
lifts a veil off of like a poster for like True Grit or something.
It's like, wow, Richard really settled down with Wind Talkers.
Truly the least marriage material movie ever made.
It's me and Captain Corelli's mandolin.
Oh, shit.
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, I
think
guess,
you just need to embrace the abstract here, Richard.
I'm gonna kill Oppenheimer. I'm gonna marry
for the history of mankind, though. Kyle's trying to keep this guy sated.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really, trying to fuck him so he won't do it again.
2 is enough, sir.
He doesn't make Atom Bomb 2. What if Oppenheimer ends on a huge cliffhanger?
Like, I was talking with
Oppenheimer will return.
I was joking with friend of the show Jacob Borja that it'd be so funny if the bombings of, it wouldn't be that funny, but it'd be pretty funny if the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki were done in text in before the credits. Like they just, he finishes it. He like does this and then it fades to black and tells us the rest of the story.
Well, we got to put it in there. Cause I mean,
he like a blackjack dealer, like, and then heads out and they're like, they do like the next 40 minutes. They don't even show.
That's so funny. Okay, so you're killing Oppenheimer.
Killing Oppenheimer. I will also marry Mission Impossible because I love that franchise with all of my heart. Better franchise about family than the Fast movies.
you just say meh at the end? That's... You fucking Shamuse fucking Snookins.
I guess I did.
Loved it.
And I'll fuck Barbie. Brave. But mainly Full just take. For the energy.
Yeah, because Ken might be, because yeah. Ken's going to be there.
Yeah, just because Ken's going to be there. I like this, like...
sitting in a neon little cuck chair in the corner.
This, like, this weird, like, attitude that Ryan Gosling's had about, like, Ken and how he's been, like, going in interviews and talking about, like, how dope Ken is. And,
yeah.
How, what was the thing of, like, I was on the phone thinking about doing, accepting the job or not, and then I looked outside, and then a Ken doll was face down in the sand. And I said, his story must be told.
Yeah, I think he's probably, it seemed to me, again, we've talked about how we don't really know the full take on that movie. My guess has always been that he's sort of emulating Ken's vibe, or like kind of a sort of tongue-in-cheek, like ironic sense of Ken's journey of feeling left out or like unimportant or something. Like that's always been my read on that.
I love it.
Yeah, because I've never seen Ryan Gosling speak to meaning of a movie maybe ever. So he always is weirdly, he's like sneakily a very bit heavy guy.
Yeah,
I'm just happy to finally not be doing some of that light, you know, just pure fluff shit like Place Beyond the Pines that I used to make.
Blue Valentine.
Yeah, it's a real light.
First Man. It's nice. And to
these TV shows
deep.
Were basically sitcom episodes but 90 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's also like kind of psyched to make something maybe his kids will be interested in.
Sure The kids, the little tykes weren't into First Man. <That's>... They weren't into a movie. Have you guys seen First Man?
I've that started movie, it multiple times.
I'm kind of out on superhero movies.
That movies, these are the real heroes.
He's first. His power is first.
What, teachers?
The fucking when I worked at Z, I may have told this story. When I worked at Zia Records, we had some superheroes end cap that had, of course, your like whatever superhero movies, and I would always put movies about the military on them because I would say those are the real heroes. What's it called? Yeah, First Man rules, and is like has another secret take that like had anyone told me was going on in First Man, I would have been all over it. It's certainly not about what if we tried to go to the moon. It's like what if a dude found it so hard to cry in front of people, he had to go to the moon to do it.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good take on a movie. I like I like that movie with Natalie Portman where she plays
the poopy diaper movie.
The poopy diaper movie, yeah.
Yeah, Lucy in the Sky pooping in her diaper. I've never seen that. I keep forgetting that exists. It's like the most interesting movie I never remember.
I really like the way it's shot, and I think it's a pretty fun movie. Not fun, but like it's a good watch.
The movie of it all
is
fun.
The movie, yeah.
All right, I'll check it out.
John Hamm just being a piece of shit.
Sure. I think I got to kill Oppenheimer too. You know, see how that unfolds historically.
Oppenheimer too. Like, I mean, it didn't.
Yeah, Oppenheimer two, comma. Hydrogen.
Oppenheimer 2, teenage bomb.
Yeah, teenage. That would crush. That would do well overseas.
Oppenheimer Jr.?
Did you see that funny news article where they were like, Oppenheimer still doesn't have a release strategy in Japan? And my response was like,
surprise.
Who are you asking to even make those phone calls?
Hey, like, just release the movie from the sky.
Admit, yeah. In the movie, down upon them. Yeah. All right. We talked about having no editing. Killing Oppenheimer, just because he seems like the. It seems like the most. Just I don't want to be around that. You know, I'm presumably. I've always thought the rules of this game are I'm fucking the other two, in one aspect or another. Mm-hmm. And just Oppenheimer seems like the least.
I never understood. Was it like you'd only want to fuck the person once, or are you entering into a sexless marriage with the third option?
My read was always that the fuck is going to be incredible.
Sure. Yeah.
And the like the fuck is an 11 out of 10 and the marry is a steady 6.5.
Okay.
Not actually in a sort of it's like it, I'd always accepted it as hacky stand-up rules. Like Bill Engvall's take on fucking, marrying, and killing.
Sure.
So the fuck is like a like hot tub showgirls fuck.
Oh man, what a movie! I might throw that on after this. I'm killing Oppenheimer. I'm fucking. Okay, here's what it is. I'm fucking Mission Impossible. You guys marry. I'm fucking. You know. I'm gonna be cuck. You two are in the cuck chair as the married, you know, and I gotta. I'm gonna fuck it because
every
at this point, I think it's been great since three. I think it. I think my favorite is still four. I think I'm. Tom Cruise is one of the few people I actually let the personal life thing truly kind of bum me out while I'm watching. There's just too many things that throughout the length of the marriage is gonna come up. And I feel like I want to get in, get out. I want an 11 out of 10 fuck from that movie because that's what I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to watch it for 2 hours, think about it for a week, and then probably, yeah, you know, like, move on.
We're gifts from the Church of Scientology. That's the type of husbands me and Kyle are to.
Yeah, whereas I am just a I've just got some problems with some of the stuff. There's some red flags on Mission Impossible's Hinge profile that I just can't swipe right. And then Barbie.
He's also his Hinge profile. He's definitely older than he says he is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of obvious filters
and lying about his height.
Yeah. Half the photos are not of him. They're of like food or his dog.
Because you're like, you look so different in your photos that he takes off a mask.
All right, guys, pre-planning it now. Letterbox review for Mission Impossible will just be it's a 5'3" out of 10.
I'm gonna do mine is 11 out of 10 is 11 out of 10 fuck. And then I'm marrying Barbie because I'm getting Margot Robbie. That, you know, she's gonna age gorgeously. Ryan Gosling's already aging gorgeously. This is just a great life I'm setting up for
Michael
me.
Sarah's aging expectantly.
Michael Sarah's great. The, you know, on par with the Ryan Coogler as a director, Michael Sarah. Yeah, very excited about my future with Barbie.
Well, there you have it, folks. The definitive
Kyle,
ranking
that's a great
of
segment.
Fucking, sucking, and marrying.
Wait. Hold on. I knew it was fucking sucking. And I'm not sucking.
Hey, hold on. I'm
like, Oppenheimer.
I'm over here. If it's sucking, then Transformers Rise of the Beast.
Yeah, I'm trying to suck a beast. Where can they find you guys online?
Oh, I'm at HG. I'm at Spike Kittrell on Letterboxd and HG Spike on Instagram.
Boom.
Oh, I'm at Richie Humps on everything.
Hell yeah,
and that's on everything.
And that's on God and everything, man. And then you can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Kyle Anderson Comedy.
Kyle, you off Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but I don't do nothing but like little Pasadena videos. So there you
I
go.
Like it. I like it. There like no you secretly like an uncle's Insta Twitter, like an uncle's Twitter. Like
if you want to find it, you'll find it eventually.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye, demons.
Bye, bye.
Kyle's Mike and Richard, welcome to the show. You probably have it that you already know.
Forget how it goes. Busy man.